Good morning and welcome to Market Minutes. Today is Thursday, December the 1st, and I'm Mahalakshmi. It was a great day for US markets yesterday, with stocks rallying across the board as Jerome Powell signaled a slowdown in the pace of tightening as early as December, while indicating more hikes to fight inflation. This has really changed nothing, because the majority view on the street has already been that the Fed will effect only a 50 basis point hike in December. In fact, markets seem to kind of ignore the second part of what he said, which was that more hikes will be needed to fight inflation than earlier thought. Bond yields fell along with the dollar. The S&P 500 hit a two-month high, notching the longest monthly winning streaks since August 2021. The index also breached its 200-day moving average, which is a sign of firm bullishness. The Nasdaq 100, which has been the most assaulted index because of the rate hike, jumped about 4.5%. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 20% from its September lows. This means something, because this fits into the definition of a bull market. The S&P 500 is still trailing with a 13% gain since September lows. But by the way, the Dow's gain is double that of what we have seen in the Nifty, which is 11% gain since the September lows. On the way down, all along we have been holding up better. On the way up, the US market seem to be climbing much faster now. But then in India, we have already hit the all-time highs and have been asking if this is the start of a new bull phase. In the US too, now some voices are saying it might be time for the next bull market. But the caveat is that Powell's tone could change depending on how the economy reacts to the rate hikes that have been effected so far. The signals coming in on the economic data front in the US is still mixed. Job openings fell in October, which is a hopeful sign for the Fed, as its main focus is to curb demand. We have to see how jobs data pans out later this week on Friday. The expectation is that payroll addition will come in at 200,000 workers in November. Unemployment rate will hold at 3.7%, and the average hourly earnings will moderate. Let's see how all of that pans out. Meanwhile, some good news from India too. The second quarter GDP data that came out yesterday showed a 6.3% growth, very much in line with expectations, although it was down from 13.5% in the April to June quarter. The only disappointment was in terms of the gross value added, or the GVA, which showed a growth of 5.6%, down from 12.7% in the first quarter and 8.3% in the same quarter last year. In nominal terms, India's GDP grew by 16.2% last quarter. Now, the sharp fall in GDP growth in the second quarter was due to the fading away of the favorable base effect. That's not something we need to really be concerned about, therefore. But there were weak numbers in some of the sectors, with the GVA for manufacturing contracting by 4.7% after having grown by 4.8% in the first quarter. There was also a surprise, but a positive one, with regards to the agriculture sector, where GVA increased by 4.6% for the quarter on a year-on-year basis, slightly up from the growth of 4.5% in the previous quarter. Economists had expected the farm sector to perform not so well given the uneven rainfall we saw during the quarter, but services continued to perform very well, with trade, hotels, transport, communication and related services posting a 14.7% increase in GVA. Meanwhile, GVA for financials, real estate and professional services rose by 7.2%. GVA is essentially nothing but GDP plus subsidies minus taxes. On the expenditure front, we saw private final consumption expenditure grow by 9.7%, down from 25.9% in the previous quarter, but that was also along expected lines. Meanwhile, gross fixed capital formation, which is the proxy for investments, rose by 10.4%. Now, the latest data means that India's GDP has grown by 9.7% in the first half of FY23, down from 13.7% in April to September 2021. Well, that looks kind of impressive. Growth is expected to continue slowing down sharply in the second half of the year, with the RBI itself predicting that it'll come in at 4.6% in both October to December quarter and the January to March quarter. For the full year, the central bank has forecast a growth rate of 7%, which is what we are now set to achieve. At least that's what it looks like. There is something to cheer on the fiscal deficit front also. The central bank's fiscal deficit widened to 7.58 lakh crores in April to October, accounting for 45.6% of the full year target. The fiscal deficit for April to October 2021 had accounted for 36.3% of the FY22 target. With more than half the financial year over now, the fiscal deficit remains under 50% of the budget target for the full year, which essentially means that the center remains pretty much on track to meet its annual target of 6.4% of GDP, although questions have been raised given its feasibility on account of the higher subsidy bill. As per the data released yesterday, the major subsidy bill accounted for 75% of the full year estimate in April to October, with the subsidy for nutrient-based fertilizers and urea at 99% and 97% of their respective estimates for the full year. Now, what does all this mean for markets? Well, no surprise again here, so nothing really changes. But the fact that growth is on track and that fiscal deficit will not exceed the target set for the year will mean that the Reserve Bank of India will not have to go in for aggressive rate hikes going forward. We already know that the Fed is slowing down the pace of increase in rates to see the impact of hikes it has done in the past, which means the pressure from global macros also will not force RBI's hands. That should be good news for both equities and debt markets. That's all from me today. Catch you tomorrow, same time.